Here's the question. The Bible says, as witnesses of Christ, you're supposed to be able to give a response to any question concerning God. You're supposed to have an answer. Now, sometimes the answer might not be what the asker of the question is looking for, but you still have an answer. I remember when Jesus healed a blind man and they brought him before the high priest and they were grilling him. They wanted to know, you know, like, he was lying. He wasn't really blind from the beginning. So they called in his parents. And you remember what his parents said. His parents said, he's old enough to answer for himself. Talk to him. Amen. And he brought them, they brought the blind man back to him and they started grilling him again. He said, I don't know what else to tell you. He said, are you asking so you can become a believer too? Or are you asking to try to get me to change my story? Here's what I do know. I was blind, and now I'm looking at you. Sometimes that's your answer. Sometimes the proof is in your life. How about this? God says that he's going to make us witnesses of himself. Anybody want? Well, I don't know if I believe that God exists. Well, I'm a witness. Put me on the stand. Okay, well, give me some evidence. You want some evidence? Follow me around and see if I don't have the joy of the Lord. And see if my joy doesn't agree with my circumstances. Because my God, who you're not believing in, has taught me to be instant in season, out of season. Watch this. I'm instant in season, out of season. Can you give me an example of when something was out of season, in season? There was a tree. We talked about it last week. We talked about the trees and how there's two different trees and you are connected to one. There's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there's the tree of life. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil moves based on the words of the devil. So Eve sat at the tree and the devil spoke and said, oh, I want you to enjoy this tree. It's really good. It'll make you wise. The Lord said, if you eat of that tree, you can no longer have access to this tree, which is the tree of life. They believed the words of the devil. They ate from that tree. And so now they started producing from that tree. They had to live by that tree from now on. And the Bible says they were cut off from the tree of life. And so they had no access back to the tree of life. And so the tree that they were eating from, they couldn't help but produce from it, even when they didn't want to produce from it, because that was the only tree that they had access to. And now they're producing from the will of the devil rather than the will of God, because they connected to that tree. Now, the tree of life was still off limits, and we know that it's through the life of Jesus Christ that the way was opened back up. The way was closed, but the way was opened back up, that we can come into a place and we can have access to what we didn't earn, what we didn't deserve, but God so loved us that he gave, that he opened a door, that he is the door, the gate. If you come any other way, you come as a thief and a robber. And so you have to come through Christ, and so we're going to be talking about Christ. But there was a tree that Jesus was walking, and there was no figs on it. The scripture says that he looked from afar off and he could see the leaves. Now, it wasn't the season for figs, but the Amplified tells us a little history about it. It says, because there was leaves on it, when it comes to the figs, when there's leaves, there's supposed to be fruit. And so the leaves on the tree are supposed to be one of the signs that the fruit's there too. Right? And so, but it wasn't the season for the figs. So when he went because it looked like it should have something, but when he got there, there was no fruit. And so Jesus cursed the fig tree. Why? Well, it wasn't the season for the figs. Why are you cursing me? Because I expect you to be instant in season, out of season. Another way of looking at it is like this. If you walk by the Spirit and don't walk by your flesh, you're going to find yourself walking opposite of the direction of a lot of people most of the time. Most people will be going this way when an event occurs, and you'll be going a different way. Why? And they're trying to tell you, you're out of season. Don't you know what's going on? You should be coming where we're going. And so there was two men after the death of Jesus Christ. On the third day, the day he was supposed to rise up, they were out of order, but they thought they were doing the right thing. They were being disobedient, even though they thought they were being wise. And they were walking out of Jerusalem, where the Messiah was supposed to resurrect, Because they doubted him. They didn't believe that he was really going to resurrect. So they're walking on a road, leaving Jerusalem, and another man starts walking with them. Now, this was supposed to be the day that they were rejoicing and exciting about. They should have been so excited. They should have woke up and put their Sunday best on and say, Jesus is going to wake up today. Jesus is going to resurrect today. The tomb's going to open today. Today's the day. They should have got excited. Why? Because he even told them over and over, they're going to kill me, but in 3 days I'm going to rise. Because it has to fulfill the scripture. I will rise in 3 days. I'm going to do it. 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 At the Last Supper, he told them, listen, it's good that I leave so that you can really come into the knowledge. But when it was time for them to rejoice, trusting and eating from the fruit of Christ, they were doubting and believing the lies of the enemy. And so even though he was resurrecting, guess what? They were going the opposite direction of it. They were leaving town rather than coming to town. Now, where did he tell them that he was going to be? He was going to be in Jerusalem. That's where he was dead, right? That's where the grave was. But they're leaving. And they're also not leaving with joy. They were sad. They were frustrated. They were scared because they didn't know what their future should look like. But they should have been, by faith only, without even seeing him risen yet, trusting him at his word. They should have been rejoicing on that day, and instead they were sad. And God's putting in my spirit, there's a lot of my children, a lot of my people who are wailing instead of dancing, who are sad instead of glad, who are upset and frustrated and walking away rather than running towards, because they're not trusting me at my word. They're out of season. They think they're in season, but they're out of season. And they're thinking, it's not time for that right now. I got to do this. We got to get out of it. No, what you need to do is you need to come to him. You need to come to him. You know, the Bible says, don't forsake the fellowship of the brethren, which many are doing. The fellowship, the forsaking of the fellowship is coming together as the body of Christ. There's a lot of people that believe I don't need church. Well, I'm just going by the words of Jesus that laid his life down to build the church. And said, they're going to know you by the way that you guys love each other. And if you don't gather yourself with God's people, are you part of what he's doing? Now, I'm not saying if you miss church service, you're going to hell. Congratulations, that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, I need to check if I'm in season. I'm trying to go away when I'm supposed to be coming to celebrate together. What's the problem? What's driving me the wrong way of what God is saying? All right. And we'll find that most of the time it's a doubt or not knowing. Oftentimes there's an offense, there's a frustration. Sometimes it's guilt. I have found something about guilt. Can I tell you a little bit of personal experience about guilt? Please don't tell anybody else. This is between us and everybody on Facebook and whoever else you tell, but don't tell anybody. Jesus used to do stuff like that. He would heal a blind man and say, now don't go tell nobody. The blind man's like, oh, how am I going to do that? I can see. I can't help but tell him. Right? Jesus set him up. But when it comes to guilt, sometimes in the flesh, I try to put my guilty conscience and I try to get away from it by putting it on you. Sometimes I try to take my guilty conscience, put it somewhere else, because I don't want it at my house. I used to have this friend that used to do something, and he thought it was funny, and like, and in high school, he just thought it was fun, but there was a principle to it I just hated. He used to always take his garbage from his lunch and put it on my tray. Because he had this thing, he just liked a clean tray and a clean area. You ever had somebody like that? Like my daughter Raquel, she doesn't want you to put food on her plate that she's not going to eat already. It's like, no, you don't even need to have that there. Get it off the plate. It messes me up for something that looks out of order to me. Get it off the plate. Because if you put, you know, the macaroni and cheese and then the peas, the macaroni and cheese doesn't look good suddenly. It's like, ugh. And it won't look good till you get rid of the peas, right? So she wants to clear the plate, clear it off. Well, sometimes when it comes to guilt, we want to get away from the guilt. We want it off our plate, but we don't deal with it. Instead, we put it on to other people. You ever done that before? Yeah. Listen, I ain't going to tell like you ain't going to tell, right? I ain't going to tell. The only way to deal with guilt and a guilty conscience is Christ. No other way. Sometimes it's like, let me make it up to you. I'm going to make it up to you. And I'm going to do real good for a whole week. And then we'll be done with that. I'll no longer feel the shame. Doesn't work. Because what you did still exists. Do you know, could you tell the whole world the importance of the birth of Christ? As a Christian, can you tell everybody, and if you're not a Christian yet, or if you're not a believer yet, or if you're not committed yet to Christ, praise the Lord, I'm asking those people around you to be able to talk with you, to tell you why it's so important. Why is Christ so important? Why did Jesus have to be born? Why does it really matter? What really changed? What really changed when you became a Christian? The biggest thing, the great gift that God gave us, was that He didn't just forgive you of your sins, He paid for them. And the only way to come out of guilt and shame is to have resolve with the issues. If you don't have resolve, it's kind of like this. I robbed a bank, but I did it in 1983. I was 10. I was hanging out with the wrong crowd. I robbed a bank. Now, ever since then, I've been super nice. And I haven't robbed no more banks. I've been real good since 1983. Now, 1983, 1993, 2003, 2013, that's a long time ago. But guess what? If my nation, if the place where I'm a citizen finds out about 1983, no matter how nice I've been, I am going to pay a thief's payment. But now, can you imagine me being on trial? And where were you? November 3rd, 1983. And I said, I was at People's Bank, Kent, Washington. Because they used to give dum-dums. My mom used to take us there. Remember the little suckers they give? I used to get dum-dums. What were you doing? Hanging out with some thugs. Why do you call them thugs? Because I didn't know until after we were done robbing the bank that these weren't really good guys and maybe I shouldn't hang out with them anymore. So you robbed a bank in 1983. Yes, I did. But sir, I would like the evidence to come in. Since then, I didn't rob no more banks. Just want you to know. Matter of fact, not only did I not rob some banks, I became a teller and I worked for a bank and I won Employee of the Month. So I just want to, on the record, officially I'm one of the good guys. So can we end this court case? What are they going to do? What are they going to do? I'm going to go to jail. Why? Because there has to be a payment for the crime. Has to be a payment. And it does not matter how good you are. I've heard people say that don't accept Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, but they say, if there is a heaven, I believe I have the right to go because I've done more good than I've done bad. And I just ask, does that work where you live? Does that work where you come? Does that work in the, is that a good legal system? So as long as the murderer does more nice things and volunteers at the library, should we pardon the murder? You know, and that comes from evil people talking justice. How about God, who is perfectly just? And so when Christ was born, the Father sent the Son to pay for all of your guilt, all of your shame, and all of your sin. Do you know how huge that is? If you could learn to accept that today, there's some peace that you could just have within your soul and spirit, that you wouldn't need to try to put things on other people to find that peace. You could be whole right where you're at with no circumstance changing. You could be whole right there at your house where it seems like it's just, man, this place is crazy. But guess what? I am perfectly redeemed. I have been forgiven of all my sins. And I know for sure that I don't have to wear guilt and shame. In fact, didn't they say when the Christ would come that the anointing on him would take off a spirit of heaviness? I much, much more would rather have you come do something completely evil to me than for me to sin against God. It grieves me so much more when I do it than if you do it to me. Because I know what he has done. I'm one of the ones that knows. I'm one of the ones that has received. I'm one of the ones that confessed. I'm one of the ones that he has filled. I'm one of the ones that he's with. I'm one of the ones that's sure. And I would rather have you do something against me than me do something against you. Because I'm one of the witnesses. And what am I a witness to? I was guilty. I deserve the sentence. But I'll never pay it. Because somebody didn't just pardon me and act like it didn't happen, but recognized it happened, took my place, took death, and rose triumphant. So we're going to look at Christ today. Why is it so important? Why is he so important? Are you forgiven of your sins? Then why are you so sad? Why are you so angry? Why are you so short? You've been forgiven of your sins. You've been pardoned of eternal damnation, and you're upset? You know what I mean? You've been pardoned of eternal damnation, and you deserved it, and yet you're mad at your brother? What's the problem? What's the problem? Isn't there a problem? Felice, you can tell me yes. There'd be a problem, wouldn't there? Yes. Thank you. So we're going to look at some scriptures. Let's start with John chapter 1, verse 1. And we're going to read all the way to 14 together from the King James. It'll be on the screen. We're going to read it together. It'll be a fast cadence. It'll be one of these ready reads, and we'll read. So it's giving you a heads up, the cadence. Ready, read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All the way to 14 we go. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So God came to the world that he created, and he came as a light. So light came into darkness. Do you remember when, because sometimes it feels like, well, I think I've always believed. You ever felt like that? Some of us long-term Christians. Well, when did you really believe for yourself and make it a decision, for God I live, for God I die? When did it come to the light where you realized, this is the answer to everything I'm looking for, and I'm no longer searching for a new answer. This is the answer. Now I'm going to learn to live with and by the answer, and I'm going to become a witness that this is the answer. When did you come to the place not only to say, I believe that's the light of God, but to say, for now on, I'm going to follow the light of God? When was your moment of clarity? Because I can remember for me, and actually God used my dad to be part of my coming to the knowledge. Ever since we were little, we were always believers, as far as I knew. If you would ask me, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yeah, of course I do. Now, I didn't know we were CEOs. I didn't know that we were Christmas, Easter, and other special occasion churchgoers only. I didn't know it. We didn't go to church regularly. We went special occasions. But yet, I was a Christian, as far as I knew, because it's just kind of like I come from a Christian tradition. Yeah, we're Christians. But I didn't know that my nature was evil. I didn't know that I actually was doing things fighting against God rather than working with him. I didn't recognize the real need to be saved. I just was saved because I'm one of the good guys. I felt like one of the good guys from the beginning. And so I never came to a place of repentance because I was like the rich young ruler. I've been doing this since I was a kid. I've been good. Matter of fact, I got the citizenship award in school, you know. And so sometimes we don't recognize the need of a Savior until you really come into the awareness of the guilt. And so I remember as I started getting a little older, man, it started getting harder to be nice. And I told you the story once before, but I'll repeat it. I remember in junior high, and I say that because my son's in junior high. I remember it's such a conflicting age. I'm coming into new things, and I'm starting to hear new things. It seems like girls are starting to grow up, and I liked it. It seems like you got to prove who you are and try to be popular, so there's a social thing coming on. There started to be new pressures on my life that started pushing on whether I was a good guy or not. And I heard other people swear, but we just didn't cuss around my house. I'm so thankful my parents just, that wasn't their thing. So I don't remember growing up and hearing cussing at my house, you know. There might have, maybe, I'm not saying one didn't fly, I'm not saying they would, but I'm just saying I didn't grow up in that environment. And so it always seemed so unattractive, right? Just, man, just a cussing mouth. Surely there's higher education to learn a different word. I mean, like, right? Can we look at a thesaurus or something and say, okay. But that was never my issue. Now, I had other issues, but that wasn't my issue. But I started hearing people do it. And I was like Eve. Guess what? These are some pretty cool kids. They did it, and God didn't strike them dead. There was no thunderbolt. They did it, and they're still getting A's in class. It's not like if I swore one time, suddenly I fail out of school. And so I started trying to measure what is good and what is evil. And so I finally came to the conclusion after thinking about it long enough. I was like Eve staring at the tree and watching and hearing other people do it. And finally I came to the conclusion, it ain't that bad. So I went into the bathroom and I prayed before I did. This is at Enumclaw Middle School, junior high, the Chieftains, the mighty, mighty Chieftains. And I was in the bathroom in seventh grade Didn't have to go, but got on the toilet because I wanted to do something. Literally, I had to be away from my house because I knew even if I whispered it, somehow Dad would hear it in his spirit, and I didn't want him to hear it. So I went to the bathroom. I sat on the toilet, and I started cussing because I wanted to hear what it sounded like coming out of my mouth. Just, I had never done it before ever, so it was so weird. And I was trying to put it together like da 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 da. I tried to get some rhythm with it. Da, 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 da. I started out just giving one like da, da. But now I wanted some da 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 da. Da 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 da. Every good fighter knows you gotta, you can't just throw one punch. Ba 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 ba, right? So I started throwing them off and I went and I said, okay. Thank you. That was my bathroom. Like, and I flushed the toilet even though I didn't go. Like, that's gone. Right? I flushed the toilet. Didn't use the bathroom, but like, okay, God, I didn't, that's gone. Guess what? I accidentally swore within a week. Accidentally. Was not trying. And when I did, it was like, oh. Accidentally swore. It started getting, and I started realizing, oh, it's like, it's in me. I thought I had flushed it. But it's in me. And then I started realizing there was other things in me too. And I started realizing that I'm doing things and I can't flush them. I couldn't get rid of them. I couldn't just not do it for a while. I always like to tease. I have a friend that smokes. And they say, oh, I can quit anytime. They said, matter of fact, I quit one time for 2 years. I said, listen, I mean, I'm trying to, this is just as a friend. You didn't quit for 2 years. You took a 2-year break. If you're still smoking now, you did not quit. Right? You had a gap. You know what I mean? And they felt like it's real easy just to let it go. I could just take this pack and throw it in the garbage. You ever saw someone digging through the garbage for the cigarettes that they put in there? I've seen people go back into the same garbage they put away, right? Why? Because what they realize, it's harder than just flushing it. Because it's more than just the little box of Camels there. It's actually... it's in me. That's the place where you start knowing you need Christ. The more aware you become that without God, there's no way you're ever going to earn eternal life, the more you begin to appreciate the child. The only possibility to be saved. And so verse 12, one more time, if you could put it back up on the screen, I just like it. Watch what verse 12 says. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So here's my question. When did you come to the revelation that you have the power to be a son of God? When did it come to you that you, even though you're aware of sin trying to come out, that God who came in has given you power to be a son of God? When did you come to that conclusion? And everybody's thinking, but maybe you have not come to that conclusion yet. Maybe you haven't come to the conclusion that you've been given the power to be a son of God. Let me tell you the first and great power that you have. The first and great power that you have is not to lay hands on the sick. The first and great power that you have is not to cast out devils. The first and great power that you have is to confess your sins. It's the first thing you were given as a power. That's why nobody gets saved by just standing there. You remember when they came to Peter and said, "Brothers, we're hearing what you're saying the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. What must we're hearing your words and we're pricked in our hearts. What must we do now?" And what did Peter tell them to do? Repent, every one of you, for the remission or forgiveness of your sins. Be baptized in the name of Jesus and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But the first thing you need to do is recognize, I have sin in me that I need help with. And the Bible says that anybody who believes in their heart and confesses out of their mouth, you've been given a power to be saved. That's why the whole world has the access to God, but only some will actually enjoy what he did. Because it's only for as many as receive him. And when I receive him, I have the power to confess my sins, and rather than to be shamed for it, to be pardoned. Adam and Eve wanted to hide from God because of their sin. There's a lot of people I've talked to that said, "Pastor, don't worry, I'm gonna be coming back to church. I'm going to get my life right, then I'm going to come back to church." And I'm like, no, you need to make the mess part of coming back. You need to come lay it down at his feet so that you can get help, because the nature of your flesh, you're not going to get it right, then come to him. The first and great step you must take is say, "Lord, I need help. I need help. I need help. Every time I try to do good, I want to do good. I do the wrong thing. I'm just conflicted." Anybody been conflicted? Yeah. I've been conflicted. So the first part of this great power that I've been given to be a son of God, I have the ability to stand in righteousness. But I can only stand in righteousness if I receive him. I can stand forgiven of my sins before God. But I can only stand forgiven of my sins before God if I receive him. I can come to God's presence without worrying that he's going to kill me or curse me, because I'm clean. And I'm not clean because I got clean and came to him, but because I received him. To all that receive him, to them he gives power to become sons of God. And so the first thing that we need to enjoy at Christmas is the ability to come before God unashamed. And there's the start of a peace that surpasses understanding there. There's the start of not trying to take my shame and guilt and put it on you. There's the ability to start really enjoying the words of God rather than feeling like it's hurting me or judging me. Now I look forward to God speaking. Why? Because I'm forgiven by him. I look forward to God talking to me. Why? Because he's not trying to curse me. He's trying to bless me. I look forward to receiving his spirit because I'm not afraid of his spirit. I'm excited about his presence. And so I have to first be forgiven. If I'm not forgiven of my sins, then my life is being determined by my sin. But if I'm forgiven of my sins, my life is not determined by a sin. That's why the Bible tells us, listen, don't go and start lying to yourself and say, "I got no sin in me." The Bible says, "He who says that he has no sin is a liar, and the truth is not in him." We have all. I have fallen short of the glory of God. I have fallen short. But guess what? I've been given a power to not let that be my name I've been given an ability to not lay under the heaviness of that. Yeah. For that yoke is heavy and burdensome, but yeah. His is easy and light. I've learned that I can come out of guilt and shame by receiving Him. I didn't do it. I didn't earn it. I am guilty, but You are merciful. You are good, and I belong to You. That is the start of great things to come. That's why when Jesus taught us to pray, He didn't say, and pray like this, "Our Father, bless me to throw a lightning bolt at all the bad guys. I want to judge all the sinners. I'm going to find them for You, Lord. I'm going to throw them in hell. I'm going to find them. I'm going to find them sinners. I know they're out there. I can feel them." When you go hunting with Apostle, he was my hunting teacher. And he was Mr. Miyagi for me, right? And so he always told me that you can come to the point where you can actually smell elk or deer before you see them. And I'm like, you can't smell. Wait. And so I've come to the conclusion that you can sense things around you before you see things around you. There's some senses we have to discern things. All of God's children have a sense of discernment, and it's kind of like the wise men that went to see Jesus at His birth. They had followed the star. They were told by the prompting of God, don't go back and tell Herod where the baby is. How did they know that? They sensed that it wouldn't be good. They felt like, I don't think we should go back and tell him. Why? Because they had an unction, a new unction that this is wisdom. This is the way you should go. This is why. And so there's an unction in God's children. When we go into a world of darkness, we have an unction to recognize what it is without being afraid of it. Because what He wants to be the greatest unction you have is no matter where you go, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If you can have the feeling or sense, the knowing of His presence, you won't worry about some of the things you're discerning because you have the answer with you. Now the devil, the Bible said, is the accuser of the brethren. What does that mean? That means his job is to remind you why you're not acceptable unto God and why your value is low. Because he reminds you of your family sins, your family situations, your family shortcomings, your family sicknesses. He reminds you of your personal problems. He reminds you of who has left you and who's not with you. He reminds you of your own mistakes. He reminds you of what you can't do on your own. And he keeps you in a place of weakness to eat from that tree. So he's the accuser of the brethren. So Jesus, being perfect, showed us how to deal with this devil with the power of sonship. You know what he said? My daddy already told me that's not true. All he did is trust his daddy. No, it is written. My daddy already said. No, my daddy already said. Because he trusted the word of God over the leading of his feelings and the word of an enemy. Do you trust God enough to follow him even when it looks a certain way? Do you have the unction that you're righteous even when you're being accused? Do you know how to stand in the light of God when darkness is surrounding? Are you able to open your mouth and give God thanks when the situation looks like you should be crying? Are you to the point now that you say, no matter what happens, I am a child of God? Amen. Period. Because if you can say and stand in that posture, I promise you, you've received him. It's the only way. It's the only way. Now, after you've been cleansed, the Bible says you need a new wineskin. You don't put new wine in an old wineskin. That's why I said the first and great part of God's power in the sons of God is to be able to stand in righteousness, to be able to stand cleansed because of the blood of Jesus, because of the remission of sins, because of the forgiveness, because now God's not remembering your sin anymore. Because of that, now that I've become a new wineskin, now he can pour his spirit into me. Now he has a new wineskin for the new wine. Now, if I'm still drinking the old wine, maybe I'm not a container for the new. If I am not drinking the new wine, maybe I'm drinking the old wine. Have you found that without drinking anything, you can get intoxicated? You ever been in an intoxicating situation? Can I give you a couple examples? Some mean, rude people that started out only being mean and rude to the people next to you, but suddenly cut in line. You ever just get intoxicated with rage, just anger, like... You ever got... What I'm saying is you get a high on something and it didn't get in you, come in through your mouth. But it's going to come out of your mouth. It's going to come out of your mouth. It didn't come through your mouth, but it's getting ready to come out. You ever been intoxicated like that? You ever been intoxicated with fear where you were so afraid that you literally, with a loud, throaty scream, screamed, "Ah!" You were intoxicated with fear. You ever been intoxicated with sadness? You know, when we started learning about drugs in high school and stuff, they kind of take you and they said, okay, there's uppers and downers. And I'm like, who would ever, this is a kid's mind, who would ever want a downer? Like, that sounds like a depressant drug. Wow, I want your assignment. I just didn't understand that, you know. But sometimes we just want to go numb because we don't want to feel. We don't want to feel. So we try to find a way to go numb. But here's the problem. When you unnumb, it's worse than it was before. Why? Because you can't flush it. So what do? There's been times where I was so angry. Tell me if you've ever been here. I wasn't crying, but you would think I was because my adrenaline was so hot that I was shaking. You ever been that mad? Man, you are intoxicated. But I want you to know that's not the new wine. That's not the new thing. Now, that does not mean you haven't been forgiven of your sins. That doesn't mean you're not a child of God. But when you come to the point to present this life a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, when you begin to identify as I am a cup for the Lord's drink, and not for the world's drink. I am a spokesman for the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of darkness. I am an ambassador of the King of Kings, not just a king of this world here. I am one of the children of God with full inheritance already sure. When you come to the place where you look at things not through being intoxicated with the old wine, but when you start looking at things through the new wine, it will change what you see with your eyes, what comes out of your mouth, and how you respond to the things around you. Amen. You know, I told my wife, you heard the story. She was crazy about me. She was crazy about me. And we were dating, and she's crazy. And one day she came up to me, I love you. And you remember the story. I didn't say I loved her back. And I began to try to tell her my philosophy of love. Because I was trying to do it God's way. And no, I didn't want to do it the old way anymore. I was trying to do it as a son of God and not a son of the world anymore. And so I said, well, here's what I would say. If you would rather hear me say it than see it in my actions, that's a dangerous problem. That's a dangerous problem. If you believe the words that are coming out of my mouth, regardless of my actions, you can be deceived. And I expect you to see I love you before you hear me say I love you. Because if you hear me say I love you, but you don't see I love you, trust my actions. Don't trust my mouth. So that's what I told her, right? I said, I expect that you should know I love you by me being me before you hear me say it. Because if it's so easy, all I got to do is say, I love you. I love you. Now, if I love you and you love me, more than words is all I have to do to make it real. Then you wouldn't have to say it. You could show me. So are you to the point where you believe God knows you love him with your mouth shut? Does the Father know for sure you love him with a shut mouth? Or do you expect him to know it? I said it. Ladies, if a guy says he loves you and you don't see it, don't marry him. And expect that when you get married, you'll see it. Right? Sometimes we fall into that trap. Well, if I give you my whole life, maybe it'll show up. It's like, no. Gentlemen, if a lady tells you she loves you, but you have this unction that she loves herself more than she loves you, you have to know these things. I think Justin Bieber said, if you think you look that good, you can love yourself. You know what I mean? Man. My point is, we have to come to the point where we make a confession. But our first confession is our faults, our problems. To be cleansed. And then when I'm cleansed, I'm positioned for the infilling. And then when I'm filled, then you're going to hear me say what I'm also doing. You're going to hear me say what I'm doing. Jesus went to Peter after his resurrection, said, Peter, you love me? And what did Peter say? With his mouth? Yeah! Sure. If you love me, this should be the corresponding action. So he asked him, sure you love me? Yeah. Then this should be the corresponding reaction. Do you love me? You know. This is what I... If you love me, show me. Let me see it. Do you love the fact that you've been forgiven of your sins? The greatest way you can express that is by now being filled with new wine. That this vessel is now not the old one, it's a new one, and it has a new cause and a new purpose, and the new cause and the new purpose is to have the new wine, which is the Spirit of God and the life of God here on earth, so I can be a light as he's a light. Will you make a mistake again? Yes, you will. What's the answer when you sin or make a mistake? Well, how did you get saved the first time? Did you hide it from God or present it to God? Present it to God. King David got so comfortable with this when he brought the presence of God into the city of David. He danced out of his clothes and danced naked. And this was the understanding that when God comes into be the centerpiece of our civilization, when he becomes the capital of our life, when he becomes the focus, I don't have to hide my sin. I can be naked before him and I'm unashamed, because that's the start of right relationship with God. If I have a guilty life with God, I hide from him. When he has forgiven me of my sins, I run to him. Are you running towards God, or are you just camped out somewhere and you visit him when you want to? Amen. And when you want to, that means you need something. You know how it is. Yeah. You ever had a phone call from somebody and you know when they call they want something? Yeah. You ever had one of those calls? It's like, oh no. And nowadays they got caller ID. So they realize too, and they step up there, they go 2.0 on you. And they call from their friend's phone. You know how they ah! Because they're only calling because they want something from you. But when they get on the line, what's up, bud? Hey, friend. They're trying to show this love, but you know that they only want to take. Can I ask you a question? Have you given your life to Christ? Have you given your life to Christ? If you have given your life to Christ, enjoy being his. Enjoy his perfection. Enjoy forgiveness. Enjoy his spirit. Enjoy his words. Every one of his words is good towards you. And so before today's out, we're going to prophesy. I'm going to show you why, but we're going to prophesy. I told you I wanted to hear myself say something. And I knew it came from the wrong nature. So God has given all of his children that have been forgiven of their sins, that have confessed Christ Lord and Savior, that have received the blood of Jesus in their life, who become a new wineskin. He says, I'm going to fill you with the new wine, and when you do, you're going to speak. You're going to open your mouth and you're going to say something. Isn't this a promise? And so this will be the last scripture. We're going to go to Joel chapter 2. I just want to read verse 27, 28. We're going to read it together in a very quick cadence. It'll be a ready read. Are you ready? Joel 2, 27. Can you believe I sat on the toilet and cussed? Where's my son? TD? I'm just reminded, I will hear you all the way at school. I'll just, why? Because I am a child of God that I can perceive. Isn't that right? We used to be afraid with my dad to do something because he would know. We knew he knew. You ever had that feeling? So whatever you do, God knows you did it. Why are you trying to act like you didn't do it? Why are you trying to flesh it rather than just get it dealt with? If you flesh it, you're still guilty of it. If you bring it to him, it's forgotten. Amen. Regina, don't flesh it. Don't. That's my cousin. Is it there? Ready? Read. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. No more shame. We're going to deal with it. Congratulations. No more shame. One of the characteristics of God's people should be no more shame. Now, when he does that, watch what's next. And it shall come to pass afterward, after what? After there's no more shame. After you've been forgiven. After that I am with you. After that I arrive. After the shame, I'm going to take care of it for you. When I take care of it, now let's get about the new stuff. Can we get about the new stuff? Okay. Old things have passed away, behold, all things become new. You know, that's what we're supposed to say, right? That's what the scripture says. But it seems like my life is old things have passed away, but they keep showing up again. I thought, well, when's the new part? The new part will never take place in the old nature. You'll never enjoy it. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. You can't have those things that only come by a spirit. if you're going to live your life by your flesh. Can't have it. Ready, read. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out. We're going to try that again in better cadence. Ready, read. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Stand up. Let's practice. Are you forgiven of your sins? How do you know you've been forgiven? Because you fleshed it? Because you didn't do it since 83? How do you know you're forgiven of your sins? Because you confessed it. So all I got to do is say I'm guilty? That's all I got to do? Talk to me. How do you know you're forgiven of your sins? Talk to me. We don't get forgiven unless he's in part of my confession. Jesus has to be part of your confession. Our Father, and forgive us of our sins as we forgive everybody who sinned against us. Why? Because if you forgive me of my sins, my world is going to be contained. I'm going to be intoxicated with freedom and forgiveness. And I'm not going to concentrate on offenses. Why? Because you didn't concentrate on mine. You forgave me of mine, therefore I can forgive someone else. Why? That's part of the children of God. I have the power to be a child of God. I can do it. If you've forgiven me, surely I can forgive Shirley. So he says, when shame is taken care of and you've been forgiven of your sins, first off, there should be joy in the house. I'm telling you, if you had a great uncle that took your space when you were supposed to go to jail for 20 years for the 1983 bank robbery of People's Bank, Kent, Washington. And your great uncle took your spot and went 20 years to prison. You'd be thankful. How much more that God took eternal damnation for us? There should be a joy to being forgiven. There should be a rejoicing. There should be a thanksgiving. There should be a continual thanking God. There should be a give us this day. There should be a day-to-day thanks for forgiveness. And then he says, afterward, when that's handled, I'm going to pour my spirit into my people. And what's going to happen is you are now going to start talking from a new nature. You're not going to need to go hide in the bathroom and then flush it. But you're going to be able to go to a rooftop and proclaim it. Because my people are going to start speaking by a new nature. My people are going to start uttering and declaring things that are right and true, things that agree with the light of God, things that come from the Spirit of God, and no longer saying what they feel by the nature that cannot have heaven. When Peter wanted to convince people he was not with Christ, he used his mouth to convince them. And he talked from the nature of his flesh and said, can't you see I'm not with him? So here we are. We're going to prophesy. Are you ready? How do I prophesy? You start by giving God thanks for your own personal forgiveness. You start by really recognizing that he didn't just forgive the whole world. He forgave me personally. You have to accept that first and let that be the first thing out of your mouth. Because if that's not dealt with, nobody wants to hear your prophecy. Jesus I know, Peter I know, but who the heck are you? Isn't that what the devil said? So, are you sure you're good to go on to the next part? Because I'll tell you what the devil will do right now. You know you're going to go back in the garbage and dig them out. You know what you're about to go do anyhow. You already know you've tried this before. Isn't he a liar? The Bible says he's the father of lies. Jesus knew what you were going to do when he came and died for you. And he still came and did it. That means today is a fresh opportunity. So I just want us to take a minute to give God thanks for salvation. Can you just thank God? So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I praise you. I know that there is sin in my flesh, Lord, but you have cleansed me. You have given me a new garment and a new robe. You have taken me out of an old thing and brought me into the new thing. You have removed me from death and brought me into life. You brought me out of darkness and into your marvelous light. Lord, I couldn't do it. I couldn't afford it. I couldn't accomplish it. It was a free gift. And it came when you sent your child, Jesus Christ, in this world to die for me. I thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. I thank you that shame is not part of my daily life. Lord, guilt is not part of my daily life. But there's a joy and a peace that comes from you. I'm sure what you said and what you have done is true. I'm sure of it, Lord. And so, Lord, I thank you. You said, and we shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Lord, you said that you're going to pour your spirit into us, and it's going to be a spirit of adoption, of sonship, and that we're going to be able to cry out, Abba, Father. We're going to be able to speak to you in a way where we know for sure you are our Father. You are God alone. And you said that you're going to give us words to be able to agree with you on earth rather than fight against you. You're going to give us an articulation that comes, Lord, from your spirit and your nature and not from the nature of our flesh. Not from worry, not from doubt, not from anger and not from wrath, but from the true living God. A spirit, Lord, that's full of power, love, and a sound mind. From that place, Lord, I root myself. Let me stand in that place and begin to speak. So from that place, Lord, I declare that this is the day that you have made. And I'm going to rejoice in today and be glad in it. I am glad because this is the day that you have made. And I'm standing before you with righteousness through Christ Jesus. And I thank you that on this day I stand before you, Lord, in reconciliation. You're not angry with me. And Lord, I just thank you that that is established and settled. I prophesy to my tomorrow. Tomorrow, I will show up and meet you as a son of God. I'm going to show up as one filled with the Spirit of God and not the spirit of the world. Tomorrow, I will meet you and I am going to plant good seed in you. And you're going to be a blessing to other generations beyond me. Lord, I just thank you that I'm going to be able to prophesy to my family. So I speak to my family. Family, you are of a blessed household, not a cursed household. Everything in the house is blessed. Lord, my children are blessed. My wife is blessed. Lord, our home is blessed. Anything we own is blessed. Lord, I prophesy to this church, Lord. This church shall be known for loving each other. Lord, that this church is going to be known in the community by having the power to be sons of God. Lord, this church is going to be known as a place where you speak, Lord. Lord, this is a place where we're going to learn that if we come in naked before you, that we don't have to be ashamed. Lord, that we can confess our faults one to another, I declare this place shall be full of people looking to be removed from shame. Yes. Lord, and they're going to find the answer here. Lord, let those that are being accused in the news, let them come here to find forgiveness of shame. We see the world trying to shame them. Lord, you didn't shame them. You said, I accuse you not, go and sin no more. So Lord, we thank you that this place shall be filled with people who don't have to be ashamed. Lord, I thank you that before the end of this year, we're going to see miracles. And so I speak to every body, every person in this place. If there's sickness in your body, let me prophesy to you today. You're not sick. You are not sick. You are well today. You are well. It is well with your soul, and your body shall agree with you. It is well with your mind. Your body will agree. It is well with your spirit. Your body shall agree. Flesh, we command you in the name of Jesus to agree with the word of God by his stripes. We are healed right now in Jesus' name. Cancer, we take authority over you. We will not move in fear and worry and use our mouth to praise you. But instead, we're going to prophesy to you. And we're going to say, if God be for me, who can be against me? Lord, we're going to say that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. So sickness and disease, you have no place among those who have been forgiven. And we thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I prophesy reconciliation. As you have given us reconciliation with the Father, so have you given us the ministry of reconciliation to others. And so I declare that we're going to get more than 50 people saved before the end of this year, that we're going to get 100 people saved, Lord, because we are your ministers of reconciliation, that we are full of the wine that causes us to speak good news and not bad news. We are full of a wine that causes us to rise up to do great things and not evil things, that we are filled with a life of God that agrees with the will of God. And it's not your will that one person would perish. So we declare that 100 people are going to get saved before the end of this year because of the people standing before me today. Lord, we're going to prophesy. We're going to open our mouth. Lord, I prophesy to the marriages. The marriages in this house, if you are married right now and you want to keep that marriage, Lord, we declare your word. What God has put together, let no one separate. Lord, what you have put together, let no one separate. You said that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Lord, we thank you for favor on the marriages here. Lord, if there's anybody here that feels like addiction has more of a voice in their life than your spirit does, Lord, we just lay our life down for you today. We confess that we've come up short. Lord, but let us rise with the perfection of your spirit. And if we make a mistake, Lord, that you are just. You said you're very present help in a time of trouble. He who is just and confesses his sins, the blood of Jesus washes us from all unrighteousness. So, Lord, we just celebrate that right now. Lord, that addiction loses some power when we can be forgiven. Lord, when we're not carrying shame, which sends us back to it, Lord, but rejoicing, it causes us to go to you. Lord, let us be vessels of the new wine, and let us share a drink with someone, Lord. Let us touch and agree with our brothers and sisters. Now, I just want you to take a moment. I want you to start prophesying to the person next to you. I just want you to start speaking by the Spirit of God what God gives you to say to them. Just begin to speak to your brother and sister next to you. I want you to, everybody in the house, I just want you to open up your mouth and just start speaking what you believe God has for them. I just want you to just begin to open your mouth and just bless the person. Don't worry if you don't know what to say. Just thank God for them. Thank God for their life. Thank God that the devil has not taken them out. Thank God that today's the day of salvation. Thank God that they have the right to be a son of God today. Thank God that Jesus has forgiven them for their sins. Just thank God for them. Thank God for their future. Thank God for their gift and their purpose. Thank God for the ability for them to connect with the body of Christ. Thank God that it's a new day and not an old day. Thank God for that person. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it might have been a long time since your family member heard you thank God for them. Even though you might feel it in your heart, they haven't heard it. So just bless the person next to you. After you bless that person, turn to another one and bless them too. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to give it space just in case it gets loose in somebody's mouth. Somebody might get drunk with it, you know? Somebody might just get drunk with this thing. The new wine. It's okay to be drunk on the new wine. Why? Because it's from a nature that's pleasing to God. It's from a nature that won't harm your brother or sister. It's from a nature that makes you a good neighbor. It's from a nature that will give God praise. God doesn't mind if you drink from the new wine. All right. I just want you to know today before you leave that even by this word today that's spoken, you've been cleansed of your sins. I have the right to do that. I found that out. The Bible says, if anybody's sick among you, let them call on the elders of the church. They will pray a prayer of faith over you. And if you have sinned, you'll be forgiven. But here's the point. including for myself. I can be forgiven in this moment, but am I going to walk out the door enjoying that forgiveness? Am I going to go into tomorrow thanking God for the forgiveness? Am I going to walk into the new thing, or am I going to go back to the old? I want you to know, if you've heard it and have been forgiven, you've also been given the power to be a son of God. Nobody can take that from you. Can we rejoice in that? Can we thank God? Now I want to use all my power and all my might to help my brothers and sisters stay out of shame rather than put them in it. I want to use my gift and talent to help my brothers and sisters rejoice in salvation rather than to feel guilty. So Lord, let guilt not be the way we move each other. Let guilt not be how we move our children. Let guilt not be how we move our spouse. Lord, but let it be love. Let it be the power of God. And use our mouth to be prophetic. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad. God bless you. Go in peace.